This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. This is a gospel meeting tonight. We have good news. There's two things I hope to bring out tonight, and one is man's lost condition, and the other is God's remedy for man's condition. Man is ruined. He's lost. He's undone. The Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Man is responsible to a holy God. And tonight, each one here is either in one of two conditions. They're either saved by the grace of God through the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ and on the road to heaven, or they're lost in their sins and on the road to hell. God's word tells us plain there's only two places. There's only one remedy. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." I worked with a lady once, and she told me that, well, there's lots of ways to heaven. It's kind of like the town of Seattle. There's lots of different roads you can take to get there. God's word doesn't tell us that. The Lord Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." It says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." The Lord Jesus is the only way. He's the only Savior tonight. How are you tonight, my friend? I would like to welcome you here. Thankful to see so many. I hope each one will have a sense of being in the presence of the Lord tonight. There is a God that created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And God has spoken. He's spoken through His Word. Tonight we have the Bible, the Word of God. Men have their opinions. Men, no matter who you ask, as you walk down the street, each one has different theories, different opinions. Well, tonight, it's not what I think, it's not what you think. It's what God says that matters. God has spoken. You know, if we were to turn to the book of Genesis, we would find that God placed man in a garden, in a place of blessing. He provided for man everything he needed. And we find that man sinned. He believed Satan rather than God. Satan came along and said, "Yea, hath God said." He tried to get man to doubt the goodness of God. He got man to think that God was holding back something good from him. And you know, if you're in your sins tonight, you probably believe that lie. That's probably why you haven't been saved. Because you think that God is holding back something good from you. Well, tonight I want to proclaim a God that's a giver God. God that so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Let's turn to that verse in John 3:16. John chapter 3 and verse 16. I think there's a lot of children here that have learned that verse. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." I remember a few years ago, I was talking to Brother Carl Keep after he had a little boy born into his family, and he said, "You know, now I understand John 3:16 in a fuller way than I ever did before." He had a little boy of his own, a little boy that he loved, and he could appreciate more as he looked at that little boy, delighted in that one, to think that God loved him so much that He gave His only begotten Son. You know tonight that God loves you? God so loved the world. And it's personal. Have you ever thought that God loves you enough to send his son to die for you? The Bible tells us God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Do you realize tonight that you have a need? You're a sinner. God says you're a sinner. Bible tells us all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Tells us there's a day coming when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ. Yes, men have lots of secrets. I can put on nice clothes and walk around and fool a lot of people, but God knows the secrets of every heart here. And the Bible tells us that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and who can know it? And it says, I, the Lord, search the hearts. Yes, God sees our hearts tonight. Neither he sees a heart that is stained with sin, or he sees a heart that's washed in the precious blood of Christ. How is it with your heart tonight? Know the Lord Jesus Christ. He's more than a man. He's the eternal Son of God. Apostle Paul could say, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The Lord Jesus loves each boy, each girl here tonight, each man, each woman, regardless of your state, your condition. Let's maybe look at a few verses in the book of Luke. Luke chapter 18 and verse 35. Luke 18, 35. And it came to pass that as he was come nigh to Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight. Thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. Here we have a man that had a need. He was a blind man. You can say, well, I really can't relate to that. I'm not blind. But you know, the Bible tells us that the God of this world hath blinded the minds of those that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. God of this world, Satan is the prince and God of this world. Man has cast off the true God, and he's a slave of Satan tonight. The Lord Jesus came that he might undo the works of the devil. And on Calvary's cross, he provided the way whereby any that are lost in their sins can be delivered from the power of Satan through his precious blood that he shed there on Calvary's cross. God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. John could say, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. The Lord Jesus could say, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Are you thirsting tonight? Have you found this world to be a place that doesn't satisfy your heart? There's no satisfaction out here. This world has its pleasures, but they're only for a season. If I gained the world but lost the Savior, were my life worth living for a day? Could my yearning heart find rest and comfort in the things that soon must pass away? Oh, what emptiness without the Savior, mid the sins and sorrows here below. An eternity, how dark without Him, only night and tears and endless woe. What though I might live without the Savior? When I come to die, how would it be? Oh, to face the valley's gloom without Him, and without Him for eternity. Oh, the joy of having all in Jesus. What a balm, the broken heart to heal. Ne'er a sin so great that He can cleanse it, not a sorrow that He does not feel. The Lord Jesus is a loving Savior. We sang that hymn, Oh, come now to Jesus. That dear, loving Savior, receive Him this moment, and peace shall be thine. It says in the book of Job, Acquaint now thyself with Him, and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thy soul. What a contrast between the sin and bondage of this world. Oh, Satan is a hard taskmaster. It tells us in the Bible that the way of the transgressor is hard. And it is. It's very hard. Oh, which way are you going tonight? The Lord Jesus could say, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Do you have rest tonight? Or are you like the wicked? The Bible tells us in Isaiah, it says, The wicked are like the troubled sea that cannot rest, casteth up mire continually. Oh, there's no rest for the wicked. Even the world uses that expression. There's no rest for the wicked. God's word proclaims it. Which road are you on tonight? Do you love the Lord Jesus tonight? Unto you, therefore, which believe, He is precious. Is He precious to you tonight? Do you value Him, or are you going after the empty things of this wicked world? That which will never satisfy the heart. Oh, the only thing that can meet the need of your heart is the Lord Jesus. Christ alone can save, break the power of sin. Christ doth fully satisfy the heart that cleaves to Him. The Lord Jesus is the only one that can bring true satisfaction and peace. This world is empty. This world is but a... It tells us, what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a moment. There was a man we read about in the Old Testament named Solomon. He was a king. He had opportunity to experience many of the things that a lot of us would think would be nice to try. But you know, Solomon had to say, vanity of vanity, all is vanity. He experimented. He had all kinds of entertainment. He had all kinds of buildings, gardens, lots of nice things, lots of wealth. He had a position. He had people working for him, people entertaining him, apes and peacocks. Anything you could think of, practically, he had. And yet he had to say, vanity of vanity, all is vanity. You know, there was another man. This man knew the Lord Jesus. His name was Paul. He was in a prison cell. And yet he wrote, Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. You know, once you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, your joy is not dependent on the fleeting things of this world, but it's a joy that God puts in your heart. Yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, tells us in the book of Peter. It's not like this world's attraction, which is just but for a moment. Pleasures of sin are for a season, and yet they leave their awful scars. I remember one time when I was a boy in Sunday school, the man that was up front asked me to come up. And he took and tied a string around my hands. He had me hold my hands together, and he tied a string around, and he said, Now break it. And I pulled a little bit, and I snapped it. And he wrapped it a couple more times. Once again, I snapped it. There was marks on my arms. And Only he wrapped it again several more times and I couldn't break it. He was illustrating the power of sin. Tonight, if you don't know the Lord Jesus, just like that, you're in the shackles of sin, the shackles of Satan. How long halt ye between two opinions? Who are you? Who do you belong to tonight? No man can serve two masters. There's only one master worth serving, and that's the Lord Jesus. But Satan has those that are bound in the cords of sin. It says in the book of Proverbs, he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. Speaking of one that chooses to go their own way and ignore the warnings of God's word. Oh, have you taken heed to God's word? We read that verse earlier. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word? God in his goodness has given us warnings in this book. Warnings to preserve us. You know, as I look around this room, I see many young people and children. They've grown up in a place of privilege. Grown up in a Christian home. Very wonderful privilege. It's also a very responsible position. Do you value it? Have you ever made it your own? Or are you thinking the grass looks greener on the other side of the fence? I can tell you right now it doesn't. Maybe you think you'll have a broader outlook on life if you can experiment with some of the entertainment, some of the things the world does to have a good time. The Bible says there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is a way of death. Lord Jesus could say, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it abundantly. Which way are you going tonight? The path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more into the perfect day. Which road are you on tonight? This blind man, we can learn some lessons from him. The Lord Jesus was passing by. He realized perhaps he would never have an opportunity. You know, a brother made a comment to me before this gospel meeting a little earlier in the day. He said, it might be the last time someone here hears the gospel message. You know, we don't know, none of us know when our last moment is. There was a man that said, well, how long does it take to get saved? And a Christian told him, well, only a minute or two. He said, well, I'll just wait till the end of my life and then I'll get saved. The Christian said, but you don't know when the end of your life is. We don't know how much time we have. Because there is wrath, beware, lest he take thee away with a stroke. Then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. God has made full provision for you so that you don't need to perish. God warns us of hell because he's a loving God and he doesn't want us to go there. He's made full provision in the Lord Jesus. That finished work the Lord Jesus accomplished on Calvary's cross. There in those 3 hours of darkness, the Lord Jesus bore the sins of any who will receive him. He suffered. We read that verse out of the hymn. It says it better than I can. It says, those hours of darkness he suffered for sinners. On Calvary's cross, all forsaken alone, while making atonement and bearing the judgment, are ended, and now he's on high on the throne. The Lord Jesus suffered so that you might not have to suffer. The Lord Jesus is God's remedy for your sins. Man is guilty. Man is responsible to a holy God. And either you're going to bear the punishment of your sin for all eternity in hell, in the lake of fire with the devil and his angels. Hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. God has blocked the road to hell with the cross of Christ so that you might have your sins forgiven. Have you accepted God's remedy? The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. It tells us in Acts, "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which they could not be justified by the law of Moses." How are you going to be justified tonight? How can a man be just before God? We're thankful to say that God has provided the remedy through the faith in the Lord Jesus. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. What are you trusting in tonight? Are you trusting in the Lord Jesus, or are you trusting in your own good works? The Bible tells us plainly, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. What are you trusting in? All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, it says. Are you trusting in your own righteousness? God has revealed his righteousness there at Calvary's cross. Sometimes people think that grace means that God winked at sin, so to speak, and said, "Well, just come over here and be forgiven." But no, God is a holy God. God could not pass the sinner by. His sin demands that he must die. But in the cross of Christ, we see how God can save, yet righteous be. Yes, the Lord Jesus on the cross bore the punishment of any who will receive him as their own Savior. And he's offering pardon tonight. Salvation and pardon freely offers. How is it with you tonight? Have you received God's pardon? Years ago, there was a man that was a prisoner. And his mother went to the governor and begged the governor. This man was condemned to death. But this man's mother went to the governor and begged the governor to write a pardon. The governor had that power. He wrote a pardon and took it to the prison. And the man in the prison said, "Get out of here." And the governor said, "I have something for you." The man said, "Get out of here. I don't want it." And that's what men and women are doing tonight with the gospel of God's grace. They'd rather have their own way. They'd rather be a slave of sin and Satan and die in their sins than come just as a needy, guilty sinner and own their need before God and receive the gift he has through the Lord Jesus. It's been made available through the Lord Jesus and that finished work he accomplished on Calvary's cross. There on Calvary's cross, the Lord Jesus died for your sins. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Oh, have you ever received him as your own Savior? Have you accepted what he did for you? Will you accept the pardon that God is offering tonight? That pardon didn't do that poor prisoner any good. And you know, the work that the Lord Jesus did on Calvary's cross won't do you any good unless you own your need as a sinner and come in simplicity and receive him as your Savior. You need to make it your own. You can't simply... There's many people that believe about God. Many people believe God, but you know, it tells us in the book of James that the devils also believe and tremble. It's the difference between believing about God and believing there was such a person as Jesus and believing on the name of the Son of God. Have you trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior? You know, it says, "As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God." Have you come in simplicity and received the Lord Jesus? Told him you're a sinner and you need a Savior and that you accept him as your own personal Savior? If you do, you'll be saved. He could say, "Him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. He that believeth on me hath everlasting life." John 6:36. The Lord Jesus has done everything there on Calvary's cross. This man, this blind man here we read about, he was in earnest. He cried out. There were those that tried to get him to be quiet, but he cried out so much the more. What's holding you back from the Lord Jesus tonight? There was a woman in the book of John, where Jesus said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." Oh, the Lord Jesus was there in all his power, and that woman didn't realize who he was. Well, tonight we proclaim the Lord Jesus. We present him tonight as the Savior of sinners. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Do you believe that tonight? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Will you trust him tonight? If you do, you'll never be disappointed. If you don't, you're going to spend a lost eternity in hell. God's word is truth. Let God be true and every man a liar. There was a man that said, "Oh, I don't believe in God." When he got to the end of his life, he was on his deathbed. And just before he died, he said, "There is a God." And he said, "There is a heaven. There is a hell. And I'm going there." And he dropped over dead. What a terrible ending for a man. God's word tells us the fool has said in his heart, "No God." Oh, man tonight doesn't want God. But I'm thankful tonight that God wants man. God wants man. Man went out from the presence of God there when he was a sinner. Adam and Eve hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. You know, it's not comfortable to be told we're sinners. We don't like to hear that. We'd rather hear someone just talk about the love of God, but it's necessary to realize our need. And so we have to face the facts that you're either lost in your sins or you have the Lord Jesus as your Savior and you're saved. How is it with you tonight? Lord Jesus could say, "Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and beside me there is none else." "Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Oh, tonight God is offering salvation. I can't tell it like I'd like to tell it. But nevertheless, God's word is true. His Son told out the love of God when he was there on Calvary's cross. The maker of the universe, the Lord Jesus, the Lord of glory, by him were all things made in heaven and earth. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything that made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The Lord Jesus came to reveal the heart of God. Came down here, the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth, that one who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, healing the lame, giving sight to the blind, taking little children in his arms, that one who could give rest to the weary. Thou didst attract the wretched and the weak, thy joy the wanderers and the lost to seek. That's what characterized the Lord Jesus. He came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Oh, are you a sinner tonight? If you realize you're a sinner, that's the first step of blessing, because Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Oh, have you found that you're needy tonight? The Lord Jesus has made full provision for you. There on Calvary's cross, the Lord Jesus allowed man, his creature, to spit in his face. He allowed man, his creature, to place a crown of thorns on his head. And they smote him with a reed, it tells us. Oh yes, the Lord Jesus allowed man to pour out his heart, to show his feelings. We read that verse in Isaiah, who was mentioned earlier. Isaiah 53, earlier in the meetings, and I was struck by that verse, "He shall grow up before him as a tender plant." Thinking how the Lord Jesus, I don't know a lot about gardening, but I know when the plants are coming up, they're very tender, and if you step on one, oh, you see some sad results. But the Lord Jesus came here where man could get his hands on him, and we find that man used his hands to smite the face of the Lord Jesus. Man used his lips to spit in the face of the Lord Jesus. Man used his tongue to blaspheme the Lord Jesus, many things blasphemously spake they against him. O the Lord Jesus, endure such contradiction of sinners from man, his creature. Couldst thou be delighted with creatures such as we, who when we saw thee slighted and nailed thee to a tree? Yes, men took the Lord Jesus and nailed his hands to a cross of wood. That one, those blessed hands that did such good, they nailed them to a cross of wood. The Lord Jesus, that one who could reach out his hand in blessing to those in need, he could touch that leper and heal him. The last act, the Lord Jesus, before they bound his hands, he touched a man's ear and healed him. One of those that was coming, you might say an enemy. You know, the Bible tells us when we were at enmity with God, the Lord Jesus, when we're enemies of God, he showed out his love and grace. He reconciled us through the blood of his cross when we were at enmity with God. Those of us that know the Lord Jesus, we were once his enemies, but now we're brought nigh through his precious blood. How is it with you tonight? Are you still an enemy of God? Or have you been brought into the family of God by trusting in the Lord Jesus? God wants you to come into fullest blessing tonight. This man here, he had a need and he cries out to the Lord Jesus. Have you ever cried out to the Lord Jesus? There was a man in Acts 16:31 that cried out in desperation, "What must I do to be saved?" And Apostle Paul and Silas said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Oh, will you cry out tonight to God? There was a man that said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And the Bible tells us this man went down to his house justified. Oh, there was another one that prayed and said, "Oh, I thank thee, God, that I'm not like other men." That person thought they were pretty good. Maybe you feel you're pretty good tonight. Maybe you don't mistreat people. You're kind and good neighbor to those around you. Maybe you do lots of kind things to people, but that will not undo your sins. There was a man a number of years ago that was involved in a bombing in the University of Washington there at Seattle. He bombed the ROTC building. He was an anti-war demonstrator. And he fled out of the state so he wouldn't get caught. He took part in that and thought he could go to a different state. So he went to a different state and he changed his name, got married, and started living a good, upright life, got a decent job, and lived a respectful life, and began to raise a family. But you know, that man that whole time had a nagging conscience. He knew that he was guilty. And he had that fear inside that one day he would be caught. And eventually he turned himself in. You know, I feel sorry tonight for you if you're yet in your sins, because you also have a conscience. And one day you too will have to give account to God. How much better to come to God now. Own your need, own your guilt. Take sides with God against yourself and you find that God is for you. Now that man that turned himself in, all the good things he had done afterwards didn't undo the crime that he had done. And you may try to turn over a new leaf and live a good life outwardly and do lots of kind things, but inside you still can't get rid of those sins. Not one sin can enter into heaven, into God's presence. The only way you can get rid of those sins is by coming to the Lord Jesus. And his precious blood will cleanse you from every sin. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. How is it with you? Are you trying to hope that the scale balances out? The Bible tells us from within, out of the heart, proceed evil thoughts, thefts, lists those things, murders. Oh yes, those things are in the heart. We may outwardly live an upright life. Maybe we can fool our neighbors. What about those evil thoughts, those selfish thoughts? You think you keep the law tonight? There was only one that kept the law, and that was the Lord Jesus. You love your neighbor as yourself. I think, you know, when I pulled into the parking lot this morning, I was glad there was a parking space for me. I wasn't loving my neighbor as myself. I wasn't thinking about someone else coming after me. And so we find that we don't love our neighbor as ourself. Naturally speaking, it doesn't come natural to us. And it's true that when we know the Lord Jesus as our Savior, He gives us a heart that... The Lord Jesus had a heart that loved His neighbor more than Himself. He gave His life for His neighbor. And He gives us that power where we can live to please Him and give us a desire to help others and to love them more than we love ourselves. But by nature, we don't keep the law. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy strength. I think that we live in a day where men are lovers of themselves rather than lovers of God by nature. You haven't kept the law. God says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Will you receive God's remedy tonight? If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The Lord Jesus died on Calvary's cross for you. He's paid the penalty. Will you accept it? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Will you accept Him tonight? Just come in simplicity. Oh, there's plenty of excuses. This man was in earnest, though. He pressed on, and he cried out the more when the multitude tried to tell him to hold his peace. You know, God's word tells us today, if ye will hear His voice, harden not your heart. It says, behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. None of us know how much longer our time is, how short our time is. We have no guarantee of tomorrow. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Remember one time I was up skiing with my nephew, and we were cross-country skiing, and my nephew went and jumped this stump. He said, oh, it's a lot of fun, Paul. Try it. So I went, and I tried to jump the stump. And I wasn't quite as coordinated as he was or as good a skier, and I didn't make it over the stump. One minute I was skiing, having a great time flying through the air, and the next minute, bam, on the ice on the other side of the fence, the other side of the stump. I had a hard landing, and my nose hurt pretty bad for days afterwards. But you know, it was just a second's time. I had no time in that instant to cry out to the Lord and be saved. It was just an instant, and it was... So it is. My aunt, she was just in a parking lot, just getting her groceries at the grocery store. My great aunt, in perfect health, she had plans ahead, thinking that she would be living many more years. And just like that, a young teenage girl jumped, got in her car and shoved the car in reverse and didn't look behind her, and bam, in a second of time, my aunt was crushed between that teenage girl's car and the other car behind it. Went into eternity. Oh, none of us have a guarantee on life. We don't know how short our time is. How important to be ready, to be in earnest. This man was in earnest. He cried out. He acted. Are you in earnest tonight? The gospel is one thing you don't want to wait on. I know I tend to be a procrastinator. But I'm thankful that I know the Lord Jesus as my Savior, because the gospel is not something to procrastinate on. It's important. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Will you receive the Lord Jesus tonight? That risen, glorified Savior, that one who was once cast out by this world, God has raised him up and highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Either you bow the knee to him now, or there's coming a day when you will have to own, and then it will be too late to bow involuntarily. What shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? You know the Lord Jesus is coming. Are you ready? If he came tonight, we don't know when he's coming, but he says, "Be ye therefore ready also, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." Are you ready? You know, there was a some time ago, I was up snowshoeing with my nephews, and where a snowstorm hit. We had walked up fallen snow tracks in the snow, and when we came back, we were on our way back, the snow was coming down hard, and we came to this open area, and the snow had blown and buried the tracks. And the wind was blowing, the snow was coming down, and we couldn't see far, we couldn't see any tracks, and it was like we were up like on a big ridge, and there was only one way down, and we circled that ridge, and we circled that area up there, and we couldn't find the tracks. We couldn't find the way down. When we circled a second time, we still couldn't find it. And I began thinking, well, we were just up for a day's activity, and I thought some of the stories that I'd heard of different people that go up in the mountains and end up, they're going up for just a short day of fun, and then they end up in losing their lives. You know, we stopped right there, and we cried out to the Lord. And the Lord showed us the way. We were able to find that trail and get down off that ridge and get to safety. You know, tonight, if you're not sure of the way, the Lord Jesus knows. The Lord Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And if you cry out to him, he will save you. Hymn writer could say, only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now. Oh, won't you come to the Lord Jesus tonight? Trust him in simplicity. You'll never be sorry. Lord Jesus will meet the need of your heart. He'll give you peace with God. He'll give you joy that will last. He'll give you a life with himself. You can say, I am come that they might have life, and they might have it abundantly. Do you have that life tonight? This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Will you come tonight? The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. The Lord Jesus shed his precious blood that your sins might be put away. The Bible tells us it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Have you trusted that precious blood? Let's sing hymn number 14. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood and the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white in snow? As snow, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Hymn number 14, verses 2 and 3.